All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we're diving deep into something a little different. We're not talking ghosts or UFOs this time around,
Okay.
but something that just might be even scarier.
Scarier than ghosts.
Oh.
All right. I'm intrigued.
Think consequences of bad decisions,
Ah, okay.
specifically those fueled by a little too much holiday cheer.
Oh, interesting.
So, you guys sent in an article from Ask a Mystic,
Yeah.
which is a website all about paranormal investigation, and the title alone caught my eye.
Who was it?
It was, "Who do despicable drunks fear more than cops?"
Hmm.
And let's just say the answer is not what I expected at all.
Well, now I'm really curious. It sounds like we're venturing into a fascinating blend of mythology and some real-world concerns.
Exactly.
I'm ready to see where this goes.
Yeah, so the article introduces us to a figure named Ometocli,
Okay.
the Aztec god of drunkenness.
The Aztec god of drunkenness.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But he's not exactly, raising a glass to good times and good company. This deity has a very specific problem with people who overindulge.
Interesting. So a god who punishes drunk drivers. That's a new one for me.
Right.
It's almost like a supernatural response to a very human problem.
Yeah, and I'm kind of here for it.
But what makes this Ometocli stand out among the other Aztec gods?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
The article explains that Ometocli wasn't always a singular god.
Oh.
He actually evolved
Interesting.
from a collective consciousness
Okay.
formed from multiple deities,
Right.
all associated with alcohol and its effects.
So kind of a combination then, that's a significant detail. It suggests that there was a shift from, celebrating the social and ritualistic aspects of drinking to something much darker,
Right.
more like a focus on the consequences,
Yeah.
the negative side of excess.
And speaking of negative energy,
Yes.
the article suggests that Ometocli actually draws power
Oh,
from
wow.
the actions of morally corrupt drunkards,
Really?
particularly those who cause harm to others.
That's a little bit chilling. It is
Yeah.
almost like a cautionary tale,
Right.
like woven into the fabric of mythology,
Yeah.
like the Greek furies who punish those who break oaths or violate laws. It's like the human psyche has always sought ways to deal with, the darker parts of ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the symbol most associated with Ometocli,
Okay.
the rabbit.
The rabbit.
Now, in many cultures, rabbits are seen as symbols of fertility.
Yeah, luck, innocence. But
Exactly.
with the Aztecs, they had a very different connotation.
They did. What did the rabbit represent to them, and how does it connect to our friend Ometocli? Well, the article theorizes that it stems from the Aztecs observing rabbits eating fermented fruits.
Okay.
And, exhibiting some rather uninhibited behavior afterward.
So they link the rabbit to intoxication,
Exactly.
excess, loss of
It's
control.
our cry from the cute Easter bunny imagery we're used to.
It makes sense when you consider the duality found in nature.
Yeah.
Even the most innocent creatures can embody darker impulses.
And in the context of Ometocli,
Yes.
the rabbit becomes a symbol of that potential for harm.
Underneath the surface of, celebration and intoxication.
Exactly. And get
Ah.
this, the article claims that Ometocli sometimes appears to those who offend him
Yeah.
as a horrifying humanoid rabbit.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine stumbling out of a bar after one too many and coming face to face with that?
I'd probably swear off drinking forever.
Right.
That's a really powerful image.
Yeah.
It really subverts our expectations of the rabbit as this harmless creature and turns it into something truly menacing.
Yeah.
It speaks to the power of mythology, to tap into our primal fears and use them to reinforce those cultural taboos.
For sure. It's certainly more terrifying than any public service announcement I've ever seen.
Definitely. But Ometocli's influence doesn't stop at scary visions.
No, it does not. The article also introduces us to a modern-day cult devoted to him.
A cult. Wow. It's getting wild. What are their beliefs? And what role do they play in all of this?
Okay, brace yourself. The article calls them the Kwahokopoli,
Quahokol.
which translates to warriors of Ometocli.
Okay.
And their purpose is chilling. They target drunk individuals,
Okay.
particularly those exhibiting violent or harmful behavior. And
Well, no.
while they make them face Ometocli's judgment directly,
That sounds ominous. How do they carry out this judgment?
the article doesn't shy away from the gruesome details. Apparently, they kidnap their victims and perform ritual sacrifices,
Oh, wow.
drowning them in alcohol.
That's intense.
Yeah.
It's a brutal and ironic end, especially considering their god's association with drinking. It's like this disturbing blend of ancient ritual and modern day vigilantism.
Yeah.
It really raises some uncomfortable questions about the nature of justice.
Yeah.
Divine or otherwise.
Absolutely. But what's even more intriguing is that the folks at Mystic Investigations actually had a close encounter with this cult.
Really?
And it happened on, of all days, Thanksgiving morning.
Thanksgiving morning?
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly unexpected. It seems that even the holidays aren't exempt from the reach of this rabbit god.
It seems not.
What happened during this encounter? Did they witness a sacrifice firsthand?
Okay, so get this. It was 3:00 a.m.
3:00 a.m.
The devil's hour, as the article calls it.
Oh, wow.
They were observing a group of bikers leaving a bar.
Okay.
And one guy was clearly intoxicated.
Yeah.
That's when the Quatchill showed up.
The devil's hour on Thanksgiving morning. That certainly paints a chilling picture. So what happened next? Did the bikers try to resist?
The other bikers did try to intervene, but then something incredible happened.
What?
Ometokli himself appeared.
No way.
Not in some subtle way.
Oh, wow.
But in his full, terrifying humanoid rabbit form.
Whoa.
Glowing eyes the whole nine yards.
That's a dramatic entrance.
Yeah.
It seems Ometokli is not afraid to make his presence known when his followers are doing his work. But what about Mystic Investigations? Did they try to stop the cult or intervene in any way?
That's the most fascinating part. They chose to simply observe.
Why would they do that? It seems like a rather passive response to such a disturbing event.
Yeah.
What was their reasoning?
Well, they did some digging on the biker who was taken.
Okay.
Turns out he had a long history of DUIs.
Oh.
Multiple accidents.
Oh, no.
And even a possible hit and run that was never proven.
Wow.
The human justice system had failed to hold him accountable for his actions.
So they saw this as a case of supernatural intervention where human systems had fallen short.
It seems that way.
That certainly complicates the ethical implications of their decision. But this whole encounter raises some really fascinating questions. Did they believe they even had the authority to interfere with a god? Or did they recognize that this individual was facing a consequence far beyond anything any human court could deliver?
Those are excellent questions, and honestly ones that I'm not sure I can answer. But it makes you wonder if a supernatural force is already holding people accountable for their actions, does it change our own responsibility as humans?
That's a thought-provoking question that gets to the heart of our deep dive. And we'll explore it further when we delve deeper into Mystic Investigations' firsthand experience with Ometokli and the implications of a world where gods might still be walking among us. Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of Ometokli, where we're exploring, you know, those blurred lines between ancient myth and modern dilemmas.
It's definitely been a wild ride so far. We've gone from partying rabbits to supernatural kidnappings. And honestly, I'm still processing the idea that a god might be out there punishing drunk drivers.
It is a lot to take in, especially when we consider the cultural context, you know, surrounding Ometokli.
Right.
The Aztecs had this really complex relationship with the divine.
Yeah.
Where sacrifice played a very significant role in their religious practices.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that we can't judge their actions by our modern standards, but it's still hard to wrap my head around the idea of human sacrifice, even if it was meant to appease the gods.
It's definitely a challenging concept to grasp from a contemporary perspective. But for the Aztecs, you know, sacrifice wasn't just about appeasing the gods. It was about maintaining balance in the cosmos.
Okay.
A way to ensure the continuation of life and order in the face of chaos.
So how does that relate to Ometokli specifically? Is there a connection between his role as the god of drunkenness and the practice of sacrifice?
What's fascinating here is how Ometokli's evolution reflects a shift in the Aztec understanding of alcohol.
Okay.
Initially, he was one of many gods associated with pulque.
Okay.
It was a fermented drink.
Okay.
And it was central to their rituals and celebrations.
So alcohol was originally seen in a more positive light, connected to ceremony and community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as time went on, it seems the Aztecs became more aware of the dangers of excess.
Okay.
The myth of Ometokli, with its focus on punishment and the consequences of overindulgence, might actually reflect a growing concern about the societal impact of irresponsible drinking.
That makes sense. It's like their mythology evolved alongside their understanding of alcohol's dual nature,
yeah,
a source of both joy and potential destruction.
Precisely. And the practice of sacrifice in this context could be seen as a way to restore balance, to offer a life in exchange for those lost or harmed due to excessive drinking.
It's a stark reminder that even in ancient cultures, they grappled with the complexities of human behavior,
right,
and the need to address those harmful actions.
It is. But even if we accept the cultural context of sacrifice, it's still unsettling to think that Ometakli and his cult are supposedly active in the modern world.
Right. That's where the myth intersects with our contemporary reality in a very jarring way.
It does. It forces us to ask what happens when these ancient beliefs collide with modern sensibilities.
Right.
Does the existence of a supernatural entity dispensing punishment absolve us of our own responsibility to address these issues?
It's like if a god is literally taking care of drunk drivers, do we even need laws against it?
Exactly.
Do we need police enforcement? Or does that become irrelevant in the face of divine intervention?
It's a really thought-provoking dilemma. Does the potential for supernatural justice diminish our human obligation to create a just and safe society? Or does it simply highlight the limitations of our own systems in addressing these complex issues like addiction and reckless behavior?
It's a tough question, and honestly one that I'm not sure has a clear-cut answer, but I think it speaks to the power of mythology, you know, to provoke these kinds of discussions, to make us think critically about our values and how we approach societal problems.
Absolutely. And the myth of Ometakli, with its blend of ancient practices and modern concerns, offers a really unique lens through which to examine our own relationship with alcohol and, you know, the consequences of excess.
Speaking of excess, the article also mentions a list of holidays that see a spike in drunk driving incidents.
Oh, really?
The top 10 holidays for the hated drunkard, as they call it.
Interesting.
It's a bit ironic considering that many of these holidays are supposed to be about family togetherness, gratitude.
It is a stark contrast, isn't it? The very occasions meant to celebrate connection and joy often become catalysts for behavior that can lead to tragedy and loss.
Yeah.
It really speaks to that complex interplay of cultural expectations, personal choices, and the often blurred lines between celebration and excess.
Yeah. It seems like that expectation of festivity and merriment can sometimes create a permissive atmosphere around overindulgence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's a holiday, let loose, have a few drinks, everyone's doing it, but then you have people getting behind the wheel, and the consequences can be devastating.
That's a crucial point. The myth of Ometakli, while extreme, it serves as a potent metaphor for the very real dangers we face. When societal norms and personal choices collide, it's a reminder that individual actions have ripple effects.
Yeah.
And what might seem like harmless fun can have far-reaching and tragic consequences.
It's like a cautionary tale woven into the fabric of our culture, urging us to be mindful of our choices and their potential impact on ourselves and others. But the article also mentions that the Aztecs used to drink from rabbit-shaped vessels to appease Ometakli.
Oh, really? Is there a way to reconcile that image of ritualistic drinking with the more sinister aspects of the myth?
I believe that's where the concept of balance, so central to the Aztec worldview, comes into play. Alcohol, like many things in life, can be both a source of pleasure and a potential danger.
Okay.
The key lies in moderation, in understanding the limits and respecting the power of the substance.
So it's not about abstaining from alcohol altogether, but about approaching it with respect and awareness.
Precisely. And that brings us back to the idea of personal responsibility. Whether or not we believe in a God who punishes drunk drivers, we all have a choice to make when it comes to alcohol. And those choices have real-world consequences, both for ourselves and those around us.
It's a powerful reminder that even in a world where ancient myths and modern realities intertwine, the power of choice ultimately rests in our own hands. Indeed. And perhaps as we navigate the complexities of life, we can strive to be a little more conscious of our choices and their potential impact, both seen and unseen. But there's still more to uncover in this deep dive. We haven't fully explored the Mystic Investigations team's firsthand encounter with Ometakli and his cult.
That's right. Their decision to simply observe the events of that Thanksgiving morning raises some profound ethical questions about our place in a world where supernatural forces might still be at play. We'll delve into those complexities and the unsettling implications of a world where gods might still walk among us when we return for the final part of our deep dive. All right, so we've explored the myth, the cult, and even, you know, the Aztec cultural context. But there's one piece of this whole puzzle that keeps nagging at me.
What's that?
That Thanksgiving morning encounter.
Right.
Where Mystic Investigations witnessed Ometakli in action but chose to not intervene.
Yeah, it's a morally complex situation.
It is. It really highlights those unique challenges faced by, you know, people who navigate this world of the paranormal. Imagine witnessing a potential kidnapping, knowing you might have the ability to stop it.
Right.
But also understanding that interfering with a supernatural entity like Ometakli could have unpredictable and potentially dangerous consequences.
For sure.
They did mention in the article that their policy was only to step in if it was a first-time offender.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone who could still be redeemed in their eyes, I guess.
Interesting.
But this biker had a history of reckless behavior causing harm.
So it sounds like they almost felt like Ometakli's intervention, however harsh, was justified.
I think so. It raises the question of whether they believe they even had the authority to interfere with a god's judgment.
Right. Perhaps in their experience, attempting to thwart those kinds of forces ultimately does more harm than good.
It's a humbling thought, acknowledging that there might be powers at work beyond our human understanding or control. But it also makes you wonder about the nature of Ometakli's judgment. Is it a one-size-fits-all punishment? Or is there some kind of hierarchy of consequences based on, you know, the severity of the offense?
That's where the article's mention of the cult members' beliefs becomes really interesting.
What do they believe?
Well, they believe that upon death, they'll merge with Ometakli.
Oh, wow.
Becoming part of his collective consciousness.
Interesting. So a merging of identities, dissolving into something larger and more powerful. It makes you wonder if those sacrificed to Ometakli are absorbed into this collective.
Yeah.
Their essence fueling his power. And if so, does the nature of their earthly actions influence their fate within that collective?
It's a chilling possibility. It adds another layer of moral ambiguity to the story.
Definitely.
Are those taken by the cult simply punished, or are they transformed in some way?
Right. Does their earthly life of excess and harm determine their role within Ometakli's consciousness?
It's almost like a dark mirror to the idea of redemption.
Yeah.
Where instead of finding peace, they become part of the very force that punishes those who follow in their footsteps.
And it all circles back to that rabbit imagery.
Right.
The rabbit, a creature known for its rapid reproduction, could symbolize this cycle of excess consequence and ultimately absorption into the larger force of Ometakli.
That's a really interesting point. So what does all this mean for us, the non-supernatural folks, just trying to navigate the holiday season without, you know, becoming rabbit food for a vengeful god?
Right.
I think the key takeaway, whether you believe in ancient Aztec gods or not, is the importance of mindful choices.
Yeah.
The myth of Ometakli might be a fantastical tale, but it reflects a very real truth. Our actions have consequences.
It's like a cosmic PSA. Celebrate responsibly. Enjoy yourself in moderation.
Yeah.
And be aware that the choices we make, especially when it comes to alcohol, can have ripple effects far beyond our immediate perception.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And perhaps as we raise a glass this holiday season, we can take a moment to reflect not only on the joy of celebration, but also on the responsibility that comes with it. A responsibility to ourselves, to those around us, and to that delicate balance we strive to maintain in our own lives and in the world at large.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on. Cheers to mindful choices, to learning from ancient myths, and to navigating the complexities of life, both seen and unseen.
Cheers to that. And until next time, may your deep dives be filled with wondered insight and perhaps a touch of healthy skepticism.